This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
I'm Frank Morano with you for one more hour, but you're going to hear a whole lot of me today, if you care to. This is all Frank all day. It's a Frank Friday, a freaky Frankie Friday, because I will not only be on with you until 5 a.m., but then I'm going to be on solo with no Juliet from 5 to 6:30. I'm going to miss Juliet, but she's in Miami. And then I am going to be back in filling in for Greg Kelly at 1 p.m. And my special guest in that first hour will be Roger Stone. He has a very, very big announcement. It's not a positive announcement. I'm not at liberty to say what it is, but it's something that you're going to be hearing a lot about. And then in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by former Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy. And we'll also have Joe Nolan's Salute to the Jersey Shore. But it's been a while since we've done one of these John on John panels. And I want to welcome first playwright, comedian, cab driver and radio talk show host and military veteran John McDonough on the left. Hello there, John.
Yeah, Frank. Thanks for having me on. Listen, it's kind of embarrassing, but can I ask you for a favor? Can you get in contact with Bernie Kerik and see if he can set up a visit with me with Trump at one of his golf courses? I've only met you once, but and it's awkward on the air asking you this, but if you could do that, I would really appreciate it.
See, John, I would do that for you. Because I know you and you're actually a friend of mine. I would not do that for this guy that I barely met once who somehow found my email address. You see the difference?
I thought it was so funny when I was hearing you talk about trying to get his son a job in Jersey.
Yes, thank you. Yes, if anyone else's son needs a job, please call me. Apparently, I'm the guy to get that done. All right. I also want to welcome a very close friend of mine, a John who is to the right of center, John Tobacco. Currently, he is a candidate for New York City Comptroller. He was a Republican candidate. He's endorsed by several Republican county organizations, including Staten Island and Brooklyn. Submitted 17,000 signatures, and then the Board of Elections threw him off due to a paperwork error. He's currently running as a third-party candidate. He's the candidate of the Independent Party and the Libertarian Party. He's also the host of Liquid Lunch, which you could see regularly from noon to 2, these days mostly viewable on Facebook. He's also a Wall Street entrepreneur. John Tobacco, how are you, my friend?
Frank, good morning. Good morning, Mr. McDonough, as well. I look forward to dueling with you again, as usual. But as far apart as we are, we tend to find the middle ground, Johnny and I. Frank, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you both back. Let me begin with a local issue. That's the issue of the Gay Pride Parade. They made a lot of hay a week or two ago with the decision. The organizers made a lot of hay with their decision to prohibit police officers from marching in the Gay Pride Parade, even gay police officers, under any sort of a police banner. And they also asked the police to keep their distance from the parade itself. Come 2022, they said they would, I think it was 2022, they would reevaluate this criteria and see where things are. John McDonough, let me begin with you on this one. What was your view of what the organizers of the Gay Pride Parade did here?
Well, I was taking it completely from an Irish point of view, because for years on WBAI, we were covering how the Irish were not allowed to march on Fifth Avenue because of the AOH and their battles throughout the years trying to get their banner onto Fifth Avenue. And that it got so bad that Brendan Fay in Queens had to start up his own parade called the St. Pat's for All Parade to allow Irish gays to march up Skillman Avenue. And this is very reminiscent of it, only it's sort of the opposite, that they were allowed to march in the parade, and now they're not allowed to march, which is a bit ridiculous, because now they're getting into what the AOH was doing, you know, putting people out of the parade, never mind letting people in. But they're taking it from a very weird angle after all these years that they're saying, well, now you can't be in, but maybe in 2025. What do they think goal is going to be? Any different today than it will be in 2025?
Well, I mean, to me, it makes absolutely no sense. John Tobacco, you're the son of a police officer. Give me your view on what the organizers of the Gay Pride Parade did here.
Well, Frank, first and foremost, I'd like to say, you know, just we had a major issue with the decision making on parades in New York City. And I know it's a local issue, but just a couple of weeks back, they don't want to give a parade permit to veterans, people who put their life on the line for this country. But yet, a couple of weeks before that, they had a pot parade down the middle of Broadway. And now you have a group of people that are, to me, the poster child for wanting complete and utter inclusion to all, and now the Gay Pride Parade is actually excluding people for their job. Hey, you're a cop. They don't want cops to participate under a banner, even if they're gay cops. And you would think, hey, this organization would want these people to be proud and be able to speak for themselves and walk publicly and express themselves. And at the same time, if any problems break out during the parade, I would imagine the first people they would look to would be the police. So it's, to me, the height of hypocrisy for an organization like the Gay Pride Parade to sit around and tell people that they should be excluded because they wear, you know, NYPD blue.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's some, you know, some agreement on that one from our two Johns on the left and on the right. If you want to weigh in, by the way, you can do so, 800-848-9222. John Tobacco referenced that Memorial Day parade. I'm going to be there Monday. That's on noon on Forest Avenue, so hopefully I'll see some of you out there as well. Let me ask about one of the things that John Tobacco and I like to do is go to restaurants. Let me begin with you on this one, John. We've seen some reports that there's been a lot of evaluating of indoor dining versus outdoor dining in the midst of the pandemic. Now, even when indoor dining was prohibited, they still made special arrangements for outdoor dining. And this came up in the Republican debate for mayor between Fernando Mateo and Curtis Sliwa the other day, where there was a big discussion about whether or not outdoor seating should still be permitted as it was during the pandemic. And there was a report out this week that something like almost 40,000 parking spots were lost because they allowed the restaurants to build outdoor seating into the street itself. John Tobacco is somebody that's seeking to play a prominent role in city government as a candidate for controller, and it's just somebody that likes to go out to eat occasionally. What's your view on restaurants? Should they be able to build outdoor seating that goes out into the street?
Well, look, to me, Frank, you know, I was a big advocate for bars and restaurants and small businesses to be open during the lockdown. I thought the rules on outdoor dining were ridiculous because people were building these big outdoor buildings and they were still indoors. But the owners of these businesses have been so severely crushed over the last year and a half, year at least. And they've expanded within the law. You lost some parking spots, but I think the bar and restaurant owners, they need whatever they need to stay afloat right now and to get back on their feet. And to start worrying about parking spots where these businesses can get hurt a little more, I think it's outrageous. I think these businesses need at least something. Some businesses have actually expanded tremendously because of the outdoor seating. I think some of them are kind of unsafe conditions that there should be some look at it. But I don't think some parking spots should cause a change where these businesses will get hurt again. And I wish for now that the city would leave them alone.
John McDonough, your view.
Now, I'm coming from the point of view who someone that works in the city as a yellow cab driver and trying to find parking or pulling over. I think this was a temporary emergency use thing because for some strange reason, you couldn't eat inside the restaurant, but you could eat out an enclosed thing out on the street. I think that the pandemic is just about over. Everyone's getting vaccinated, that these monstrosities that are built all along the streets should be taken apart and parking should be brought back, particularly for truck drivers that are going to make deliveries. Because now when they're making deliveries, they have to not only avoid the bike lane, concrete barriers, and now the extension out. So there's like one lane on a lot of these major avenues, you know, Third Avenue, Second Avenue, First Avenue. It has just gone beyond ridiculous. If the pandemic is truly over, the emergency has to end. Take down these wooden shacks that are built up and down First and Second and Third Avenue and let people who make a living driving, delivery drivers, UPS, FedEx, cab drivers, that they can pull over. God help us if you can find a meter or the time that you can park. I mean, that's another problem. But no, it's over. The emergency's over. Everybody should be allowed back into the bars. That's it. Take down the shacks.
John Tobacco, you are running for New York City Comptroller. And by the way, if people want to get involved in John's campaign or make a small contribution, they can go to the website JT4NYC.com. That's JT4NYC.com. He is a Republican, but we're not sure if he's going to be on the Republican primary ballot, but he certainly will be on the ballot in the general election as the independent and libertarian candidate. Let me ask about the comptroller's race, John. We've seen a number of commercials from some of your Democratic opponents. I haven't seen any TV commercials from you yet. I imagine, you know, it'll be coming closer to the general, but these Democrats that are in this June 22nd primary have been all over the TV screen, including Brad Lander, who, interestingly enough, has a commercial promoting his support by Elizabeth Warren and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, among others. What's your reaction to that particular commercial and sort of the nature of the messaging that we've seen from the Democratic controller candidates in general?
Well, Frank, I would just like to say, what in God's name would Elizabeth Warren and AOC, for that matter, care so much about that they'd be endorsing a primary candidate in a New York City comptroller's race? Probably 85% of New Yorkers don't even know what the comptroller does. And I think when you see people like Elizabeth Warren and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out there endorsing a left-wing progressive kook like Brad Lander. I was actually watching that commercial that Brad Lander is running, saying, hey, I'm supported by AOC. Hey, I'm supported by Elizabeth Warren. I was thinking about running that commercial as an advertisement for me to be controller. Say, hey, I was going to run a whole commercial today, but guess what? I'm going to run Brad Lander's commercial, and if you watch this, then you'll vote for me because look who he's endorsed by. We don't need these progressives taking over one of the biggest economies in the country, maybe not the world, for a city where these people want to defund the police. Brad Lander is a complete outrageous kook. He's voted to defund police. He's voted for unreasonable low-income housing. He's voted for every single thing that's socialist. He's on the record as a socialist, and he's telling you with his commercials now, I got two big socialists, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with me, and that should tell all New Yorkers, run the other way.
John McDonough, I know you've actually run been a campaign manager for a citywide candidate before in the person of Randy Cretico. I think you generally tend to vote green. I know your co-host on WBAI is Malachi McCourt, former Green Party candidate for governor. Do you have any view as to where things stand with the controller's race, either in terms of the Democratic primary or the general?
I think and you have to be congratulated to get ranked voting put in and have that on the ballot. Now, I've lived a good part of my life in Ireland where they have proportional representation. And I really think I know we're saying that the people of New York City do not understand ranked choice voting, but it's really the politicians who don't understand, because It is so strategically done over in Ireland, or where this is implemented, because you would have, say, Eric Andrews might go to Flushing and say, listen, I know you're going to vote for Andrew Yang. Give me your number two. And Andrew Yang might go over to Bed-Stuy or Brownsville and say, listen, I know you voted for Eric Adams. Give me number. But they're not doing that.
Exactly.
You never see any advertising saying, listen, I know you're going to vote for this candidate, but give me your number two and run on that in different neighborhoods and strategically set up your campaign to get the number two vote. And of course, you're going to go into the areas where you are popular. You're going to say, give me your number one. Like, you never hear them say, give me your number one.
It's a great
point.
They just
say, vote for me.
It's a great point.
Because it's beyond, it's not voting for me. It's give me your number one. And if you can't do that, you have somebody that you favor. Give me your number two or three, because that'll bring you in when the other candidates drop out and their vote starts going up to you.
It's a great point, John McDonough, and shame on these mayoral candidates and other citywide politicians for not using that strategy. But you mentioned proportional representation. I testified in support of proportional representation in addition to ranked choice voting before the Charter Revision Commission in 2010 and in the Charter Revision Commission in 2019. So that testimony's public record. People can look it up or look at the transcript and see some of the things that I said on that subject. We're going to continue with John McDonough and John Tobacco in just a minute if you want to call in with a question. Now, we are going to give preferential order in the questioners to anybody named John. So if your name is John and you call in at 800-848-9222, you will go to the front of the line. We're doing John affirmative action. So if you're a John, and I don't mean somebody that patronizes a prostitute, but somebody that's named John, call in 800-848-9222. But for everybody else, even if you're not named John, we will get to you. Now, I do want to mention that if you are interested in making some positive steps when it comes to your health, you need to think about getting something called Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a terrific product that I take regularly. It's a cold tea. You brew it hot, but then you mix it with water. I throw a little lemon juice and a little Splenda in there. Keep it in the refrigerator. And it's specifically blended with a powerful herbal proprietary formula that helps give you more energy without caffeine. It tastes great. There's no fillers, no GMOs. It's completely organic. It's a mild cleanse, a daily detox that cleanses you from the inside out. Their slogan is the tea that makes you go. You can read the testimonials for yourself at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And if you order some of this stuff, not only will you find you have more energy, not only will you find you have a much easier time being regular, that's why it's the tea that makes you go, but you'll find that if you use the promo code Frank, you'll get to enjoy some free shipping. The website is getthetea.com. The promo code is Frank.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Hey, girl, can you hear me? Are you holding out your heart? Hey, girl, do you feel me? Sometimes I go too far. Hey, girl, it ain't easy. I know it's pulling me apart.
That is Lady Gaga singing Hey Girl. We are making our way through the other side of midnight. A couple of quick programming notes. One, if you are interested in seeing the Gabby Pizza review, go to our Instagram page at 77WABCOSOM. I've also shared it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan, or you could just find me on Facebook by typing Frank Morano, Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And I'll tell you, these pizza reviews are getting better and better. Dave Portnoy is polishing his resume because he's pretty concerned about the threat that is coming from an ascendant Gabby Lopez. Now, I also want to mention I will be filling in for Greg Kelly today from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I do hope you'll listen in. And I also want to acknowledge a very special daily listener of our show, particularly in this hour, a gentleman who's known around the community simply as Uncle Jody. His Christian name, though, is Jody Breyua. And rumor has it that his niece was foolish enough to at one time actually be married to Wall Street entrepreneur John Tobacco. Here to break that down and a host of other issues is not only John Tobacco, who's the host of Liquid Lunch and a New York City controller candidate, but John McDonough, a radio talk show host on WBAI. You could hear him on the weekends. And he's also a New York City cab driver and a playwright. John Tobacco, what's the story with Liquid Lunch now? How can people see that? That's on every day, noon to two. How could people watch that?
Well, Frank, Liquid Lunch is still on Biz TV. We've been running some reruns the last week or two because my campaign has been dragging me to different courts and appeals and legal challenges. So I haven't been able to put a full focus on it. But Tuesday we'll be back in full force on Biz TV as well as on Facebook. And, you know, there are a lot of developments happening, but Liquid Lunch has a pretty solid following that people like to hear our style. And we have the best guests. Johnny McDonough has been on the show many times, along with other prestigious guests, but he's on the top of the list for sure. Liquid Lunch persists, Frank, and hopefully it will continue to grow as it's been for the last couple of years with you as our managing editor.
John McDonough, your play Off the Meter, I know it was a big hit both in the United States and in Ireland, and then it kind of got slowed down because of the pandemic. Are people going to be able to see that anytime soon?
Yes, the play is going to start up again at the New York Irish Center in Long Island City in October and November. And if you want more information on that, go to offthemeter.net, and it's about 40 years of stories of driving a yellow cab, and it's multimedia with videos and news reports and stuff like that. So I'm doing that, and I'm planning a 2022 tour of Ireland from Dublin to Donegal. So things are starting to pick up, and, you know, hopefully people will come out and go to the theater. We're hoping that September 14th, when Broadway opens up, it'll give people confidence then to go to other theaters.
Well, 40 years of stories, that sounds like a long, long show, I'll tell you. All right. Let me begin with you, John McDonough. Governor Andrew Cuomo, this is actually an issue I agree completely with the governor on, says that the main issue for the next mayor of New York City is crime, crime, crime. Your reaction, John McDonough?
You know what? I like what he said when I was watching him at the press conference, but you would think he was talking as a civilian and not the governor of the state of New York. And he was talking about, you know, I remember taking the subways, having to put the chains underneath my shirt and hiding my rings when I got on the subway and looking for a transit cop in whatever car he was in. I mean, this is unbelievable. He's talking as an out-of-body experience. And the other thing that's coming up, like how he got the $5 million of advance for his book. And I'm glad to hear, Frank, on ABC and a lot of other stations, Janice Dean, the weather woman that's been coming out against it. And it's something I brought up on your show, that the son of Sam Law should be brought in against Cuomo on this for the people that died. That $5 million should be going to everyone that died in a nursing home. And that's the angle that should be taken right now against Cuomo. And let's start working on the Son of Sam Law and get a part of that $5 million before he doles it out into trust funds to his three daughters.
John Tobacco, Governor Cuomo says the main issue is crime, crime, crime. Agree, disagree?
I agree. It's the biggest issue out there. I also agree. Much like the pandemic, where he marched, you know, tens of thousands of seniors to their death, he is the predicate cause of some of the crime, 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 with these crazy bail reform laws that we passed here in New York State, where judges have no discretion to actually keep people incarcerated, and it's caused Michelle Eskenazi, the queen of bail bonds. I was talking to her just last week. She said it's the year of the recidivist. Because of the bail laws, criminals are so emboldened now. And then we're defunding the police in blue cities and blue states around the country. Bail laws by Cuomo, along with defunding the police by people like Corey Johnson and Brad Lander in New York City. The progressives are the problem on this stuff. And then Andrew Cuomo wants to run around telling the next mayor, hey, focus on crime. He's causing the crime spike.
Fair enough. 1-800-848-WABC. We're giving preferential treatment to the Johns. If you're a John, you'll go to the front of the line. Seeing as how there's no Johns, let me begin with a name similar to John, and that's Jen calling from the East Village. Jen.
Frank, you're starting to sound like the Chicago mayor about who you're picking up interviews here.
Jen, your question for the Johns.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thank you for doing this, Frank. You know, I think these two men are very interesting to listen to. And I wouldn't call it a debate that they have, but it's a conversation. And they're both respectful and they're both interesting. So I hope you'll continue to do it. Saying that, I have specifically a question for John McDonough. Could you explain a little bit, as much as you have time for, what exactly is going on in Ireland relative to the Brexit? I know they're having, I hate to use the word trouble, but you know, about 2 weeks ago I heard on BBC there was some rioting, some people breaking windows. I know there are some economic problems that people in Northern Ireland are having about this. So what exactly, how is Ireland being affected by Brexit?
Excellent question, Jen. Go ahead, Jen.
There's an old saying, anyone who claims they understand Irish history clearly doesn't know what they're talking about. This all has to do with Brexit and the people that are living on the island of Ireland who are loyal to the United Kingdom, and they're called loyalists. So when Brexit was set up, they weren't going to set it up along the border between the 26 counties and the 6 counties. But they said that was going to cause a lot of problems with people taking shots at the border where it used to be, or it's still there, you know, theoretically. So what Boris Johnson did is put the border in the Irish Sea, that products that are coming from the United Kingdom to the north, which is part of the United Kingdom, we had to go through inspections and paperwork. So the loyalists are saying this is cutting us off from our natural hinterland of Scotland, Wales, and England. And this is why they're out rioting, because they don't want to see any disconnect to the United Kingdom. And that's why they're out there. And they have a holiday coming up in July called July 12th. You heard it here first. There's going to be a lot of rioting going on that week in July as they all get out and they celebrate the beating of Catholics in 1690 of King James and King William. It's a long history, but that's the short version.
John Tobacco, do you have anything to add on Brexit and Ireland?
Well, if I were in Ireland, I wouldn't want to Brexit it because I'm half Irish and I'm heck of a lot proud of it. No, I think there's a weird thing going on there, and I think the whole Northern Ireland stuff was a fly in the ointment for Brexit. They came up with like some kind of fix, but you know, I think those folks up there in Ireland, when they're not happy, they riot, they fight, they go to war. Somehow or another, Boris Johnson will come up with something, if you ask me.
All right, let me say hello to Russell in White Plains. Russell, you're on with the Johns.
Oh, no.
Hey, oh, come on. Hey, fellas, thanks for representing the political spectrum from A to B. McDonough, the reason the cops can't march is they're in uniform. They can march out of uniform behind the gold banner, not in paramilitary gear that is the focus of the commemoration. Hey, but listen, everyone knows Scott Stringer is the number two. He's less Abe Beam. He's more Fiorello LaGuardia. And I'd like to ask John Tobacco, first, John, get Jerry Goldfeder. He'll get you back on the ballot. But John Tobacco, why has there been a targeted blackout of Scott Stringer's exoneration?
John Tobacco, I'll let you begin with that.
Well, I'm not aware of any exoneration. When you say he's a number two candidate, I look at him as much lower than that. His time as controller in New York City is a complete failure. We're in a disaster. I think he's an underwhelming candidate, despite whether he was involved in a sexual assault, sexual harassment or not. If there's been an exoneration, I'm not aware of it, but I don't think the guy is an inspiring candidate, period. He's not an inspiring human. He's a nice guy, but to me, he's got no charisma. And if you look at his track record as controller, we've been nothing but terrible deficits and really no out-of-the-box thinking by Scott Stringer. So I don't know why anyone would think he would do anything different as mayor.
John McDonough, anything you want to add?
Well, I think an exoneration of Scott Stringer, that would be news to him, and his campaign should be working on getting that word out, because no one seems to know. And as far as gold, they have been marching in the Gay Pride Parade in uniform, just like they do in Fifth Avenue. I mean, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is more of a militarized parade, you know, with the Fighting 69th leading it off, and then the fire department all in uniform, and the police department all in uniform. So that was the same thing that was going on in the Gay Pride Parade, that they were wearing their uniforms.
All right. We're going to continue with the Johns next. And if you want to give us a call and you want to be put to the top of the list, you should be named John. 1-800-848-9222. It's 1-800-848-WABC. One of the things that myself and the Johns have in common right now is that none of the three of us are wearing a mask. However, if you are somebody that has a job that requires you to wear a mask all day, then you're not so lucky. And you know how that can make you uncomfortable, even worse. Now, why suffer with shortness of breath and anxiety and nausea and all that stuff when you don't have to? There is a solution to all of you people that have to wear masks all day. The solution is Easy Flow USA. Easy Flow USA is a personal air filtration system. It pushes fresh, filtered air directly into your mask, allowing you to breathe normally and more comfortably. It protects you from contaminated air entering from gaps. It's recommended by medical professionals everywhere, and it's been tested in an FDA-approved lab to filter 99.7% of virus and bacteria, including COVID. It makes your mask more effective, makes your mask more comfortable. Get yours today by going to EasyFlowUSA.com. That's EasyFlowUSA.com. Vendor pricing is available. And if you use the promo code Frank, you'll save 20% off your purchase. EasyFlowUSA.com. Promo code Frank.
Entertaining and informative. Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill today.
Play 77 WABC.
Sid here from Bernie and Sid in the Morning for Hamra Law Group. It's a law firm that you need to remember whether you're a business or an individual. That firm is Hamra Law Group. They're a group of award-winning attorneys. They're aggressive and client-centered in their approach to solving legal issues. Go to HamraLawGroup.com. Trust me, trust Sid, they are the best. Whether you need an attorney for a divorce, whether it's complex or not, or if you're a business looking to fight off a labor and employment lawsuit, or a business looking to get into compliance with New York and federal labor laws, there's only one firm I would turn to, and that's the Hamra Law Group PC. They're a results-driven law firm that really cares. They were built on the idea that sophisticated legal services should be convenient, modern, and affordable. Putting their clients first and knowing how to achieve a positive outcome, that's what you get with Hamra Law Group. If you need legal, you need Hamra. Visit them today at HamraLawGroup.com. That's H-A-M-R-A LawGroup.com. Win with Hamra today.
Now available on WABCRadio.com. This is America with Rich Valdez.
Secretary Pompeo is putting the emphasis on culture. In effect, he's saying, look, in order for us to move forward with any type of partner like this, they have to believe what we believe. We have to have the same type of Western values. Now, you can call that tribalism, you can call it nativism, you can call it whatever you like, but it's something that I agree with, and it's a conversation I've had with my kids.
Listen and subscribe. WABCRadio.com and the 77 WABC mobile app.
Frank Marano.
The Ramones. And if you're looking to go, we have one guest on the program right now that would really like you to use a yellow cab rather than an Uber. We are joined by taxi driver, stand-up comic, and radio talk show host John McDonough, and Wall Street entrepreneur and candidate for New York City Comptroller John Tobacco. John McDonough, why do you still encourage people to take the yellow cabs in spite of the comfort, convenience of Uber and other e-hails apps?
Now it's out of desperation. I mean, the yellow cab industry is on its knees. A lot of the owner operators are immigrant drivers. They took out these crazy loans when the medallion went up to $1 million and they bought, say, the medallion at $200,000 or $300,000, you know, brokers and bankers would come and say, listen, you could take out a loan now and we'll, you know, use the medallion as collateral. And then they bought houses and they sent their kids to college. And then the collapse happened because the technology came in. And, you know, you hear that term disruptive technology. My God, when Uber came to town, it was disruptive technology. And the yellow cab industry has never caught up technically wise. And I've testified in front of the TLC, the Taxi and Limousine Commission, that any app that wants to do business in New York City should have the option on it to take a yellow cab. Huh. Because when Uber first came to town, they did that in order to get in. And you know, be part of the New York system. Within a year, they dropped it.
That's interesting. So, and here's the other thing, Frank. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Uber had an option for the yellow cab. And then the other thing that should be done, and the federal government does that, anybody on the TLC that is voting on Uber and Lyft and all the other ones should not be allowed to join their boards when they leave the TLC. They have no law like that. So they vote on laws that are favorable to Uber. And then they retire from the TLC, which is, you know, for failed political hacks anyway. And they go over to Uber and they get high paying jobs and for a job well done. So there's a lot of things that has to go on, because this thing of just the turnover to go from the TLC and then start working for Uber and Lyft is, you know, it's John, a conflict of interest.
John Tobacco is a prospective citywide office holder. Do you have any issue with what McDonough just said there on allowing people to use their e-hail apps to call a yellow taxi as well?
Well, look, I'm a free market capitalist, and I think, yeah, hey, why not be in the Uber app and see if they want to hail a yellow? But it's a customer-driven society we live in today with the so much access on the smartphone. And as a New Yorker, I'm sure Mr. McDonough, who's a stunningly fantastic guy, keeps his cab in great shape. But people, to me, are going to choose Uber over the yellow cab time and time again, because the yellow cabs, some of them, they stink. Some of them are in disrepair. Some of them don't have the right air conditioning and ventilation. You can't ask a yellow taxi driver to not talk to you. Uber gives you the option when you go in. Do you want conversation or not? So unfortunately, I think yellow taxis in New York are an iconic thing, but I think they will become more of, more of like a nostalgia thing than an actual capitalist competitive product, because I don't think they can compete with Uber. And certainly Uber has done a great job at creating standards for the cars and the drivers. When you know they're going to be there on time, the cars is going to be okay, and you're going to get to where you're going if you want no conversation with no conversation. So I think it's very tough for the TLC to compete, and that's a factor of them being a monopoly for so long that they've taken the customers for granted in some aspects, from my perspective.
All right. Well,
I think Uber is going to win that fight.
All right. A lot of folks eager to chat with you. 1-800-848-9222. Let us go with John in Brooklyn. John, you're on with John and John.
Yes, I'll make this quick and brief. I'd like to know their thoughts on the Manhattan Borough President's race in the Democratic Party. I've heard Lindsay Boylan. I'm very impressed with her.
That's a good question. John McDonough, do you want to begin?
On what? I didn't.
President's race. Any thoughts on the Manhattan Borough President's race?
Do you know what? Living, born and raised in Queens, I don't even pay attention to a lot of the other boroughs' presidents. And that's part of the reason why we have such low turnout in primaries and major elections. You know, I'm just watching what's really going on in Queens.
John Tobacco, and any thoughts, any favorites, any least favorites in that race?
Like Mr. McDonough, I live in Staten Island, so I'm more focused on the Staten Island Borough President's race. But I do like what the caller, John, the third John, said on Lindsay Boylan. I've heard some of her talks and stuff. I think that she's got a good head on her shoulders for a Democrat. But I give her just an A for effort for pointing out, you know, Andrew Cuomo's sexual harassment and assault of her. So I think at least she's got chutzpah to stand up, I would imagine, because it's tough going against a mob boss like Don Corleone.
Thank you very much, John. Let me say hello to Jeff in New Jersey. Jeff, what's your question for the Johns?
Good evening, fellas. I have a comment question both quickly. John Spacco and John McDonough. I'm a taxi driver, 1975, the Dover Garage. John, you might remember that or not.
Over on the west side. Yep, in the West Village.
On the Hudson, in Charles, by the police department there.
Yep.
I got into the taxi. It was just the safe and the bolted down on the front seat and all that, hot seat meters. But I loved it. I was an employee of the company, and I got a paycheck. Then all of a sudden, what they did to us is they made us pay the money up front and release the taxi. That was part of the business going downhill, because a lot of American drivers lost interest. Not that I have anything against foreigners, but, you know, they wanted the job, that kind of a job, worse than we did. So that was one big change. I leased a medallion and I bought my own taxi. And to John Tobacco, my car was my taxi, my yellow taxi. Was the cleanest car, never mind taxi, you'd ever get in your life. And I was the best taxi driver in New York City. But anyway, loved all that kind of that business. John, if you could, you also worked at BAI, John McDonough.
And me also.
I was. The best one, my favorite, was Maury Marksman. You remember him?
Yeah, I was a friend of his. Yep,
he was a great guy. He was, you know what,
Jeff? Real quick genuine. With your question, because I want to get to some other callers here.
Okay, my question is this: what, John Tobacco? You still there?
Yeah, Jeff. What's your question?
Okay, my question is this: tomorrow it's Memorial Day. Biden's going to hang medals. I'm a veteran also, like McDonough. I'm a Marine Corps. I was drafted when I was 17 when the Vietnam War was going on. I have really an issue with medals, and Biden gives out phony medals. He gave them to his sons. Now he's going to give out some phony medals this Memorial Day. Ashley Babbitt had 3 medals.
All right, so Jeff, the question is what?
My question is what's going to be done? They're trying to pass this commission. John Tobacco, I was with that January 6th peaceful assembly for our First Amendment speech, free speech right. I'm against this commission unless they bring this guy
to
trial.
Jeff, we're gonna try and rephrase that in the form of a question. John Tobacco, what's your position on the January 6th commission?
Well, listen, I can't believe, I always thought John McDonough was the best taxi cab driver.
Yeah, that was a little insulting. That was a little insulting.
Being paneled to have 2 of the best drivers in New York City, and I'm sure you didn't have a smelly cab because you respected your job. But look, you know, we should have a commission to look into all the lies that were told by the media and the left to this country that Donald Trump was colluding with Russia, and all of the outrageous, you know, looting and rioting from George Floyd protests and all this other stuff. One person got killed, unfortunately, on January 6th, but for the most part, I was there myself. I would say it was a largely peaceful thing, and to waste any of our time and money in this country to look into January 6th, it's just trying to rip the bandage off again and cause just more division, and I don't think we need it.
John McDonough, where do you fall on the question of a January 6th commission?
Well, it's the phrasing of it. I hate the term insurrection. Being on the station I'm in, we've covered many insurrections that the CIA helped set up in Central America and South America. And generally, when governments are taken over, it's by armed people, and they take over television stations, and they go on and tell the population, be calm, we've taken over and arrested everybody in there. This was not that. This was not an insurrection. And of all the 400 people that have been arrested, nobody's been charged with insurrection. So they have to phrase it as something else. And it is ironic that now Nancy Pelosi and everyone wants to refund the Capitol Police by $1 billion while they defund the police around the country. And the irony of that, that we need more cops to protect us here at the Capitol. And yet around the country, they say, well, no, we you know, why don't they send social workers then down to the Capitol?
Fair enough. Let me end it there. John Tobacco, who, again, is running for New York City Comptroller. Do hope you check out his website. His platform is listed on there, JT4NYC.com. You can also make a donation on there or volunteer, JT4, the number 4NYC.com. And John McDonough, who you can hear regularly on WBAI and who you'll soon be able to see in his play Off the Meter. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Frankie, thank you so much.
Memorial Day weekend, both of you. Hopefully I'll see one or both of you at the parade. My thanks to the Johns. We'll do 15 seconds of fame next. You'll be heard on any subject you like for 15 seconds. 1-800-848-9222. Start queuing up now. We have four open lines. 1-800-848-WABC. Now, one of the things that I have been pretty lucky with is that I have never experienced chronic pain. But I've known a lot of people who have back pain, neck pain. The great Joe Borelli has plantar fasciitis, shoulder tendonitis. People have dealt with frozen shoulders. If that applies to you, neck pain, knee pain, whatever the case may be, think about making that pain go away. You can go to trinity-rehab.com. They have locations all over New Jersey, Woodbridge, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, Clifton, East Windsor, Shrewsbury. They have this thing called the EPAP machine, and they use non-surgical acoustic pressure wave technology. This is FDA approved, by the way, to zap you with this EPAP machine, 3 5-minute sessions, and you're cured. It's as simple as that. Bada bing, bada boom. You go in there, get EPATed, 3 5-minute sessions, you're done. And it really has been a miracle to people that have experienced chronic pain and are in pain no longer, thanks to Trinity Rehab. If that sounds good to you, give them a call, 800-518-0977, 800-518-0977. Go to trinity-rehab.com.